Hey, what's up, everybody? Welcome back. It's the Rich Eisen Show basketball podcast here on a Wednesday. It's March 8th. We're winding down the NBA season. Joined by the guys, TJ, Adam. What's up, fellas?
What's going on, guys? Everything good?
What's up, boys? All is well. All is well.
Yeah, all is well in your world. The Sixers are awesome.
They're playing great.
You have some issues. Yeah, my team, not so much. Adam T, your team.
We're done.
Is your team even still playing basketball?
I don't even watch. We're done.
You're not even in the play-in anymore.
Nope. This team's garbage. And we won't get a top five pick either. Don't get me started, please, Chris. Don't get me started.
You haven't tanked good enough.
That is the whole point of this podcast is to get someone started.
Yeah. We are at the point.
But let Adam know, Adam, what team. Let the people know what team you're talking about.
I am a Chicago Bulls fan. If you guys don't know, massive Chicago Bulls fan. This team is in the middle of nowhere. Not bad enough to get a top three lottery pick. Not good enough to even make the playoffs. This is a complete, absolute failure.
29-36.
Take away, just rebuild this whole team. Trade DeMar DeRozan. I like DeMar DeRozan, but you need to get rid of him. You need to get rid of Zach LaVine if possible. Just pray that we get a superstar next year. Lonzo Ball, this guy might never return.
Play again.
He might just be in Chino Hills the rest of his life, chilling with LeVar.
So, Adam, are you saying they should build the team around OG Pat Bev? Because that's what it sounds like you're saying.
By the way, all the Chicago Bulls social media feeds were acting like Patrick Beverly is Derrick Rose when he came back to the Bulls. They're like, Chi-Town's son is finally coming back. Oh, he's here. It's the return of our favorite player.
He's from Chicago?
He's from Chicago. He went to Marshall High School, which was the same high school where Arthur Agee went in the movie Hoop Dreams, which is just a random fact.
Cool.
And my grandpa Lester Ziff, RIP, he played high school basketball there in the 30s.
Shout out,
when it was all
Lester.
Jewish people. My grandpa actually led them, I think, downstate. But yeah, that's
what was he averaging, like 8 a game back then?
I'd say like 10 and 7. Maybe.
Pat Bev, wear your grandpa's number, because that would be incredible.
It is pretty crazy that Pat Bev and my grandpa Lester Ziff went to the same high school together. That's amazing. But all the Bulls people were acting like he's like gonna save the team. It's like, no, he's a good role player. And if you're lucky, you'll get a celebration from him when you make the playoffs, like he did with Minnesota. Yeah. So that's where I'm at. I'm done with this team.
Wow.
I'm just done. I can't do it.
Yeah. Can't blame you. Like you said, not bad enough to get in the top and maybe make some splash in the Victor sweepstakes, but not good enough in a league where 2/3 of the league make the playoffs now with the play-in. Bulls, the 11th seed in the East right now, 2 games back of the Wizards. But look, it's all about Philadelphia right now, TJ. Your 2 teams actually are playing
the Clippers are
Clippers
three,
got off to a rough start to the back start. Half of the year, but they had a huge win the other night. Sixers, though, oh my God, I am legit afraid that they're going to pass Boston for the 2 seed, and we're going to have to go on the road to Philadelphia, possibly in the second round.
It's a good chance that it happened. You know, the Sixers are 7-3 their last 10, and you know, the big game was stopping the Bucks winning streak, right? On Saturday. Was that Friday or
I think
Saturday?
It was Saturday?
I think it was
night,
Saturday. Yeah, I'm sorry. I think we talking the other day. I said Friday. That was a big game for the Sixers. Down 15 at one point. For them to come back and beat the Bucks, who were just on such a roll. They were on a roll, man. They won, 16, 17 in a row?
I think it was 14.
14 in a row. Okay. My numbers are off. But yeah, you know, you have Harden, one game, scoring 38 points and looking like the James Harden that we were talking about 2 weeks ago. And then the very next game, he's like, okay, well, let me show what else I can do. Then he drops 20 dimes. It's like, man, we're playing very well right now. And Embiid, you know, I'm going to continue to pound this table.
You should.
I know everyone is giving Joker the props because he's averaging a triple-double. But what Embiid does offensively, what he does defensively, I just can't believe this man isn't getting more respect, guys. I got to be honest. And I know I'm a fan, and maybe I'm looking at from like the rose-colored fan glasses, so I allow you guys to talk a little bit more about it. But the man's the most dominant player in the league. Giannis is still in the league, I understand. But I don't know. Embiid just doesn't seem to be getting that love, guys, and I don't get it.
Yeah, Joker is dominant, though. What he does and what he does for that team, the whole offense runs through him. He seems like he's like the point center at him. And like, you know, Embiid kind of relies on other people to get him the ball, but when he does get the ball, dude, he is just an absolute force. It's like kind of crazy that his MVP odds, let's see, Joker is minus 400 right now to win MVP. That is basically a lock with what do we got, 17, 18 games left in the regular season, something like that. Embiid plus 450, Giannis 8-1, and then it goes all the way up to Tatum 35-1, Luka 50-1, Ja Morant, those are done, 250-1, Willard 250-1. It's crazy.
Well, a lot of people online are saying that they think, you know, Embiid should have won probably last year. And that Jokic shouldn't win three MVPs, but that this is actually his best year out of all the 3 years if he won MVP three straight years. So it's kind of weird because, you know, I remember back in the 90s, at least, with Michael Jordan, Charles Barkley and Karl Malone won MVPs simply because they would not want to give it to Michael Jordan so many years in a row. Right.
Yeah. Think how many MVPs LeBron should have.
Yeah. And so I don't know if they're going to do that anymore, because to me right now, they have the Denver Nuggets have the best record in the league.
Right.
And Jokic is averaging a triple-double. So it would be hard not to give him the
MVP. This is the year he deserves
it. Yeah, this is the year that he deserves it. But also, TJ, like, you can make the argument that Embiid has deserved it in the last couple of years, so maybe you just give it to him this year. But the problem is they're not the number one seed.
Yet.
And so that's...
But we've talked about it on the show. I think I said the same thing 2 weeks ago when we did an episode. Like, if Philly does get the one seed, how is it not Embiid MVP?
I think that's the key to him winning MVP, is if they're the number one seed in the East. Without that, I don't think it happens. What do you think, TJ?
At this point, I said I'm going to pound the table. I'm going to keep up hope. But I feel like the decision's already been made. The script's already been out.
Yeah.
Like, Joker is going to win the MVP again. And then, you know, I don't know. I hope to me, the best thing would be those two getting a chance to go heads up. And that would only be in the finals. And then we get to see one against the other. Let's see who the better player is. But as of now, I'm resigned to the fact that, you know, Joker's going to win MVP, despite the fact of Embiid, you know, leading the league and scoring right now. It seems like it's already a done deal.
You've probably paid closer attention to this than maybe we have, TJ. But when Philly has played Denver, how have those gone? Has Embiid dominated that matchup? Did they even play in the game against each other?
Yeah, let me give you the last stat, the last time they played, because it was a
I feel like it
dominant.
Wasn't that long ago, and it was a nationally televised game.
Yeah, it was a nationally televised game. The Sixers won 126-119.
Yeah, here it is. I got it, too. Yeah.
Embiid had 47 points. how many rebounds did he have? He had 47 and 18, ooh, 5 assists, 3 steals, 2 blocks, whereas Joker has 24.
24, 8, and 9.
8 and 9.
Yeah.
No steals, 2 obviously blocks, 7 turnovers. Well, you know,
he's running the point.
Then again, Embiid had 6 turnovers, too. But, I mean, 47-24, that – what do you want me to tell you there? And you won the game.
Yeah. So. And was that their only time? Because usually cross-conference they play twice.
Yeah, they do play twice. I just knew that was the most recent.
Right, that was the most recent one.
It's interesting.
I'm scrolling too.
And we
actually
know
they play coming up.
Yeah.
Okay. So they
do. March 27th.
Yeah, March 27th. On a Monday.
Yo, just go ahead and circle that one on your calendar.
That is going to be a monster matchup.
Because I guarantee you, Joel Embiid will not play the game before that, just to make sure. There's no way he's going to miss that game.
That could actually legit be for MVP, because that's, let's see, there are only like 8 games after that. To finish the regular season, that's an important stretch for Philly, not against Eastern Conference teams, but they're at Golden State, at Phoenix, at Denver, kind of the last West Coast trip of the year for Philadelphia before they finish with some monster conference games, Toronto, Milwaukee, Boston, Miami. Yeah.
And you would have thought Brooklyn would have been on there, but now,
I feel like Embiid will take it way more personally just because he hasn't won before, whereas Jokic has won twice already, so I think Embiid will want to prove a point that he is the MVP this year, no matter what people say.
And by the way, that's going to be a good stretch for him, because the game before that on Sunday the 25th, the Sixers play the Suns.
Right.
That's going to be a big game against another formidable center. So he's going to have Embiid against Ayton, and then he's going to get a day off, and then on the Monday they get Denver, and then on the Wednesday there's Dallas. So that mid-March, those 3 games, those are really big games. Like you said, Chris, a big run stretch for the Sixers right
there. Yeah, that's a huge stretch to kind of finish the year for Philadelphia, especially if they want to get to the one seed, which is not impossible. I mean, they're four back of Milwaukee right now. They're 1.5 back of Boston. Boston's lost 3 in a row. Just absolute, just gut-wrenching game.
Adam, Chris is ready to just cut Grant Williams just right
Grant
now.
Williams.
Cut him. Grant Williams. Shot.
First off, when you...
I thought you liked him, baby. What was wrong?
I do like him. He's had a really good year. Look, he really stepped up this year because Danilo Gallinari was supposed to be in that spot.
Yeah, he hasn't.
Of the guy off the bench, stand in the corner, hit threes, give me some rebounds, play a little defense. And now Grant has really stepped up. He's had a really good season. He's probably made himself a good amount of money this offseason coming up. But with a game like that, a division game, a conference game against a team like Cleveland that's gotten their number a few times this year, and you're on the road, and you get fouled with 0.9 seconds left, and you look at the other team's best player, and you say, yeah, I'm going to make both. Well, then you better make both. Like, and it's tied. You better at least make one. So we win the game. That's really important. They weren't even close. Did you see the shots? They weren't even close.
I mean, pressure.
He front rimmed the first one.
Pressure builds diamonds and also pressure busts pipes.
It was awful. Cut on the spot.
So would you have cut, let's say, Shaq back in the day if he missed two?
Different type of player. Not still, the same.
And it's Grant Williams is still an important part of your squad.
But you're a bench guy. If you're a role player and you say something stupid like that, you better come through.
Listen, it's the regular season, Chris. If he does this in the playoffs, it's a different story.
Yes, but it's a regular season here with like 20 games to go where we're kind of spiraling a little bit and we need to stop the bleeding. And you do it with in a tough road environment like Cleveland. Like Cleveland's been a really good team this year. They've played us really tough. We haven't really figured out their number, and they seem to have ours. That's a chance to steal a game, especially when Tatum was out. Tatum didn't play because it was the second game of back-to-back. Jaylen Brown had a nice night. No Al Horford.
Yeah.
Blake Griffin had to start. And so you got to go out there. You got to win that. Dude, I'm going to make both. You're cut.
I respect the confidence.
Well, you know, Mitchell
though.
Was talking trash to him. So what was he supposed to say? Like, I don't think I got this in me. Of course,
you know what you do. You get up there, you make both, then you look at him and you wink and you go home. Like, you know what I mean? He just like Donovan Mitchell completely like Jedi mind trick the mailman don't deliver on Sunday.
Hey
like,
man, it happens.
Like Pippen to Karl Malone.
It happens.
Chris, yeah. I feel like you're losing faith in the Celtics right now.
I kind of am.
Why, though?
It's been a really rough stretch, man. They just do dumb things. They play so dumb. After last year, they basically gave away the NBA Finals because they couldn't hold on to the basketball. And you'd think they'd clean that up, knowing that was an issue. Clean it up this year. Play a little bit smarter. Nope. 22 turnovers against the Knicks in a game that you cannot lose. They're without Jalen Brunson. You're at home, and you just give that game away. They're still doing dumb crap. And it's so frustrating. And Tatum, for as great as he is, first team All-NBA last year, he might be that again this year. Finish around the rim and stop settling for step back threes.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I bet I want to curse so bad. Like, it's so frustrating because this guy is so close to being on the precipice of making the MVP leap and being the best player on a team that wins a championship. And it's like, you want it so bad for this guy, and it's right there. Just take it.
You are right about the sloppy play and the turnovers that will come to bite them.
Oh, in the playoffs, it'll happen again.
Against the Philadelphia, against any formidable team, you can't do that deep
into
the playoffs.
And you're giving away these games where you've had the last three games, so they've lost three in a row. They've had 15-plus point leads in all three games. Okay, can't blow that, obviously. Six of the next seven. Thank you, Mike. Six of the next seven on the road.
That's
tough. What are you going to do in that stretch? So suddenly maybe you drop three or four of those, and suddenly now you're 3-7 in your last 10, and you've given away, already gave away the one seed. You've been the one seed most of the season. Yeah. Gave that away to Milwaukee. Now you're going to give away the two seed now, like what we talked about with four with Brian Windhorst on the big show, Milwaukee, Boston, Philly, okay? One of those teams is not making the conference finals. Just think about that, how good those teams are.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's looking like it's going to be you. because they're going to have to go on the road to Philadelphia, even though Boston has kind of owned Philadelphia in the last few years in the playoffs. But still, not this year, not the way James Harden's playing, not the way Tyrese Maxey has really stepped up. Tobias Harris, 20 a night. I know he didn't play last night.
Well, he's like 16 a night. But
man, come on. These are really important games. Can't be giving these away.
It definitely feels like the Sixers are on their way up and the Celtics are
kind of like middling and like could go down and really quickly after such a great regular season compared to last year where it was like the first 3 months were what is this team doing? And then they just took off at the year.
Like a rocket.
Like just rocketed to the finals.
Well,
this year it's going in the other direction.
We talk about how they just lost to Cleveland. Do you guys think that the Cavs are a legit contender to win the East? Could they do it this year? Because I'm watching that team and they're very good. They're very young. That's the problem. They're very, very young. But you have Donovan Mitchell, who is a superstar. He is a superstar. And then you have the number two guy in Garland, who's a legit all-star player, number two. So would you guys be shocked if the Cleveland Cavaliers won the East?
Yes.
Yes.
1,000%.
I would be...
It's a good squad, but I would be shocked if they won.
Good squad, yeah. Really tough. Evan Mobley's obviously awesome. I would actually, just watching them play the last few games, I am more afraid of the Knicks.
No, really?
Yeah.
The Knicks the last couple months have been on fire.
I mean, look, I know they lost last night at home to Charlotte, really bad loss. But their 9-game winning streak was really, really impressive.
They've looked good. They have a great fan base. So, of course, on Twitter, you hear about it nonstop. Me, personally, I still believe that the Knicks are pretenders.
Yeah, Brunson went to your high school.
He did, Stevenson High School. And they've played without him, and they've played pretty well without him, which is a good sign. But he's obviously the key to their offense. The Knicks have a good squad. Julius Randle, all-star. Quickly's looked really good. Quickly's game kind of reminds me of Maxey a little bit.
I was thinking the same thing about that.
Yeah, he's like a guy that you could bring off the bench and score.
He's not the favorite to be sixth man of the year. Malcolm Brogdon was kind of the favorite all year, but he's been banged up the last couple of weeks, and Quickly has really come on, especially during that win streak. Had, 38 against Boston, kind of keyed that win.
And then, of course, you have R.J. Barrett.
Right, that's
they've got a good team, but I just don't think they're good enough, though. They don't have, like, Jalen Brunson is their best player, right? And he's an all-star, borderline all-star level talent, but they don't have. And then obviously, maybe Randall's better. It depends on who you listen to. But either way, there's not that one superstar. Whereas the Bucks have Giannis, the Sixers have Embiid and Harden to a degree. And then, of course, the Celtics have Tatum. And the Knicks don't really have that type of player.
No, of course. Their twosome of Brunson and Randall are behind Giannis and Middleton and Harden and Embiid and Brown and Tatum. But, I mean, if we're just talking about among the teams, Cleveland, New York, Miami, who could make a run here?
I mean, the Knicks got three guys to get you 20 a night right there. So,
I think the Knicks would be more likely to kind of score an upset. I mean, right now, if the playoffs started, it's Cleveland and New York in the first round, and I think I would bet Knicks there to come out of that.
I think I'd go Cleveland.
That'd be a good series.
That would be fun.
That's gonna be a good one.
You have Donovan Mitchell. He's from New York, going back there to play the Knicks in the playoffs in his first season in the Eastern Conference. That would be a lot of fun.
Yeah, that's a nice story.
Isn't it crazy? Like, Mitchell had 71 in a game,
and we almost forgot about it. We don't really talk.
Well, you
want to
know why? It was the same night as the DeMar Hamlin stuff.
Yeah, that's true.
Which is, that kind of obviously
took over.
The whole sports world kind of took a back seat.
But 71 points in a game, think about that.
But we had two guys score over 70.
Then you get Dame doing it too. So we talked about that a little bit more, but you're right. Unfortunately for, Donovan, his game got lost in that tragic situation that happened in Buffalo. But you got to give the guys props, man. 71 points is no small feat.
He's been awesome. And him going there, I didn't know how that was going to be. And Cleveland, it's just been kind of an afterthought since LeBron left the last few seasons. And you're just not wondering what's going on there. But Evan Mobley has come in. He's developed really, really good big man in this league. Just a walking double-double. Garland is awesome. They had Colin Sexton, got rid of him. Bring in Donovan Mitchell. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, the Cavs low-key. That's a good squad.
Low-key good squad. Can they make a run, though? No, probably not. I mean, one of the big three, I think, is coming out of the East. I would say almost 90% sure that it's going to be either Milwaukee, Boston, or Philly. But right now, at this point, Philly trending up, Milwaukee trending up. Boston kind of trending in the wrong direction. So with this huge road, you know, stretch coming up, curious to see how my team responds and if they can kind of right the ship a little bit. I'm definitely in panic mode, so that's not helping. The West, I mean, look, Denver's been running away with everything. 7.5 game lead, so they're locked into the one seed, you know, barring an absolute disaster. From there, though, guys, I mean, Sacramento, God, give them so much credit. Came out of nowhere. Everyone thought, 30 game, 40 game, maybe they'll fall. Nope, they haven't faltered. 38-26, highest scoring team in the league. So, so impressive. Memphis with the jaw stuff is now trending in the wrong direction. So here comes Phoenix. Dallas looks like they're starting to figure it out. Golden State, that's your top six. And then from there, I mean, from five all the way to the Thunder and Portland, the first two teams out of the play-in, 2.5 games separate five from 12. Three games separates five from 13 in the West. It is going to be the craziest finish.
Yeah, every game matters.
How do you see this kind of shaking out?
I've never seen anything like this before.
It's been
ever.
It's bananas. And
all the time I've watched the NBA, this is unbelievable.
It's crazy.
You've got the Lakers, who people thought would fall apart when LeBron left. All of a sudden, they're looking pretty nice now as Anthony Davis took over the game last night. I don't know if you guys watched it, but
he's getting MVP chance.
He's been awesome.
They're 6-2 their last eight. This is a nightmare mm-hmm. for me personally. Okay. I thought we were reading the last rites. I thought we were putting them to bed, and no.
And I thought as soon as the Clippers made those trades, that they'd start winning a bunch of games. It went the opposite direction. They started losing every single game.
If the season starts right now, we have Clippers-Lakers play-in, TJ.
Wow. I know. I was just looking at
Clippers-Lakers
Let's go.
Play-in.
Let's go.
One game for it all.
Oh, my God. It would be amazing.
Well, I mean, the fact of the matter is, and I don't have this number in front of me right now. I'll have to look it up. But the Clippers have won like 8 in a row or something.
Yeah, you guys are on a good run.
It's some ridiculous stretch that we are. I'm going to get the exact stat here, but
Adam, to your point, I mean, just the log jam in the West is just so amazing. Utah is sitting at 13, but they're a half game back of Portland, Oklahoma City, and the Pelicans. The Pelicans currently at 10. They have the tiebreaker over Oklahoma City and Portland. They're a half game back, New Orleans, of the Lakers, who is 9 right now, a game and a half behind the Clippers, who are tied with the Timberwolves. T-Wolves have the tiebreak. That's your play-in. Golden State is just like the weirdest team in the league this year. I can't understand them. 27-7 at home, 7-25 on the road.
Wow.
Steph is back, and they lose to the Lakers on Sunday. Like, Kyrie and Luka are now scoring like crazy, and they're starting to win games. Could they be a threat? I don't know.
The cool thing about the play-in games this year is you will be guaranteed in the West to see superstars. Like legit superstars legit playing superstar. Against each other. And that's going to be fun. That's why probably the league wanted to implement the play-in games for this type of situation when you get to see superstar level talents play against each other and winner take all.
And the Clippers are 10-0 against the Lakers in their last 10 against them. So just throwing that.
By the way, that Clipper game against Memphis was so important. I don't know if you guys saw that game.
I was there.
Oh, yeah, you said that.
Oh, no, I went to Minnesota. I'm sorry, not Memphis.
Okay, but anyway, the Memphis game, because the Clippers let up over 50 points in the third quarter to Memphis.
51 in the third quarter.
They're down by like 15, I think, to start that.
Yeah.
And they'd lost 5 in a row. I said they have to win this game. If they don't win this game, it's over. And they figured it out. And I think that the Clippers will be able to build from that game and hopefully gain some confidence. They have another game tonight against the Raptors, which they should win. But this is going down to the wire. So this is so much fun now.
Yeah.
And it's like every game's important. You're not going to see guys sitting out.
No.
Like you're going to see guys really pushing it because, especially in the West, the seeding matters. Seeding matters.
Absolutely.
Right? Like right now you'd have Memphis play Golden State. Sacramento plays whoever comes out of the play-in. Like what if Zion suddenly comes back and the Pelicans knock out the Timberwolves, and then take out Sacramento in the first round.
I wouldn't be shocked.
Absolutely possible. Yeah,
for
this,
sure.
This could happen.
And like you said, Adam, super duper stars in the play-in tournament. Ant, Carl Anthony Towns, Kawhi, Paul George, LeBron, Anthony Davis, Zion, and B.I. right now in the play-in. What?
I mean, come on.
What? That's crazy.
And that's just right now. This time in 2 weeks from now, let's check back in. This whole 7 through 13 is going to be completely different, I bet, in 2 weeks from now.
Suddenly you could get Steph and Klay and Draymond in the play-in. Like, you could have Luka and Kyrie in the play-in.
You could have Damian Lillard.
Like, could be anything.
Let's just see how many road games Golden State has coming up because, as we know, they stink on the road. So 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. They got like 8 road games left, which they're probably going to lose just because that's what they do on the road.
I mean, at least 1-7, 2-6,
yeah,
maybe.
Yeah, so this is coming down to the wire, fellas.
Yeah, it's coming down to the wire. It's going to be so, so exciting. So I threw out an overreaction Monday on the big show this week. I said Phoenix to the NBA Finals in 16 games or less. Crazy?
That's, and you're not talking the 16 games it takes to win a title. The 16 games as a team.
So three playoff series. That's going 12-4 at the most. 12-4 at the most. Losing 4 playoff games in 3 rounds at most. I think Phoenix is about to be a juggernaut, and they might win the NBA title.
I agree. I don't think that's an overreaction. I can completely see that happening. I watched that Phoenix Dallas game the other day. And they looked good. Booker like, and Durant looked very,
it's
very
like they've been playing together for years.
Mm-hmm. And I also love that game because I like the beef between Luka and Devin Booker. That's fun. And I really hope that happens in the playoffs, by the way. I really hope somehow the Mavericks play
Luka
the Suns.
Stole their soul last year.
Yeah, so it would only be fitting if the Suns got revenge with KD on their team this year. But I don't think that's an overreaction. Right now, the Suns are the team in the West. Even over Denver right now. They just have the most talent. With KD, you have a number one superstar guy who's won it all. And as much as I like Jokic, I still would rather have KD on my team in the playoffs if he's healthy.
Also, I was just thinking that. Do they have the most talent and guys you trust?
Yeah.
Because, you know, Denver lost the first round last year. I think they made the conference finals the year before. But they've had guys injured. They're coming back. Michael Porter Jr., you know, how healthy is he really? Jamal Murray has really played well. I know because TJ has him in fantasy. been playing really well recently. But when you just look at Devin Booker has scored 70 in a game in the NBA. Kevin Durant is a top 10 player all time. Chris Paul is maybe the greatest point guard of all time. Man, that's so much. I mean, they gave up a lot. They really don't have a deep bench anymore. They gave up, you know, all of their good role players and guys who can go off, Mikal Bridges, Cam Johnson, they're all in Brooklyn now.
And that's one thing you got to, first of all, I take umbrage with two of the things you said there, but we'll get back to that. That's another thing you got to think about. Like
Chris Paul being the best point guard.
You had
ever.
This chemistry, and that's my old thing. Now, we know that they can score, but defensively, like how's, you know, there's a lot that's going to go on when, 100%. Like, you know, when you know each other and you know, okay, I know that this guy, he has a problem sliding over to this side, so I'm going to, you know, I'm going to accommodate him. I'm going to, you know, there's just a lot that goes on defensively. Are they going to have the time to kind of mesh? Because you know they can score. That's going to be easy. But if it were just scoring points, you know, basketball would be a completely different game. You got to go and stop the other team.
Got to stop the other team. Don't know if Phoenix can do that.
But real quick.
But can they outscore teams? Sure.
Yeah, sure. You said Durant top 10 of all time. I don't know about that. And Chris Paul, all-time greatest point guard. Definitely not the case.
I said maybe.
Yeah, but I don't even think it was a maybe.
Is he second? Okay, he's second.
Well, no, I think most people
say first ballot Hall of Fame regardless.
Second. Magic Johnson is the greatest point guard to ever play basketball. A lot of people are trying to push Steph narrative. I'll give Steph number 2. I can't even say Chris Paul's better than Isaiah Thomas, though. But that's a discussion for another day.
We more accomplished statistically, not the rings, obviously. That is a good conversation. That's a good off-season topic. Yeah. But am I crazy? So I think we gave our predictions a little while ago. I said Phoenix, Boston. I don't feel so great about Boston, but I feel really good about Phoenix. You guys want to change your picks?
I still like my pick.
I like revisiting this every couple weeks.
Yeah, a couple weeks ago I said this. I said Phoenix and Milwaukee, and that's what I still believe.
I think that's good.
I can't remember what my pick was. I'm sure it was – I don't even remember. I don't remember who I picked. But
what do you have now?
I make a pick now.
You're going to go Denver and Philly? Why not?
I don't know if I believe in Denver, man.
You know what's crazy? Nobody really believes in Denver, and watch them just steamroll everyone to the finals.
Look, it's very possible because they're very fundamental, you know?
Yeah.
And that's kind of, I don't want to put them on this level, but kind of like, you remember watching the Spurs when that machine was clicking?
Yep.
And it was just like every pass, like they made the right play every play, every time down the court. And it kind of seems like the Nuggets are have a little bit of that in them. But you got to see, man, when the playoffs come, if they got that dog in them.
Different beast,
man. You know, it's a different beast. If I had to pick right now, maybe I'd go Phoenix-Milwaukee.
Seems like they're the two best teams right
but
now.
But I just don't, not sure. This is going to come down to the wire, guys. And I'm here for it. It's going to be fun
to
watch.
Are we just disrespecting Joker? He's so good.
I think to a point.
He's so good.
He's so good. His game, you know, back in the day, right? I remember a friend of mine. He was younger. He was telling me how he didn't like Tim Duncan, right? Yeah. This is early too. And I'm like, how, why?
Because boring.
Well, he just doesn't dunk and he's boring. And I had to explain to him, though, do you understand how good he is at everything basketball-wise? Just because he's not making Sports Center highlights, that doesn't mean he's not the best player out there. So I think you have to say the same thing with Joker. Look, he's never going to go coast-to-coast as a speed demon, you know, but his game is very efficient. And very fundamentally sound. And this team, you're right, Brockman. I think maybe we might be sleeping on them.
It's really possible.
And if the Denver Nuggets, if I went to sleep today and then didn't wake up until game one of the NBA Finals, and I said, hey, what's the finals? And you said the Nuggets, I don't think I'd go, what? No way. You
know, we could be like, yeah, that makes sense. They've been one of the top three teams the whole year.
Yeah. So.
And people talk about how Jokic isn't necessarily exciting to watch. To me, he's one of my favorite people in the league to watch. Because his passing is, he's one of the best passers now. To me, he's the best big man passer of all time. And he's one of the greatest passers of any position in NBA history. He's special to watch. And if you really love the game and you love watching the nuances of the game, then you watch Jokic and you admire what he does every single game.
Yeah, it's pretty much exactly what I was saying about the Tim Duncan thing. Yeah, it's not flashy. Yeah. It's not highlight. Fair, but everything is just right. They do everything right.
Every decision, yep.
You know? God, I'm looking forward to this, man. This is when the season's starting to heat up. That's when, you know, you got to say it with your chest. And you got to, first of all, you got to be available. Take all your time. Yeah. And that's why I kept saying to Rich when he would complain about Kawhi missing back-to-backs. I'm like, I don't care about a healthy Kawhi in October. I need a healthy Kawhi in April, May, June. And, you know, now it's like, now these guys are going to maybe stop with this load management. They're going to stop taking games off, and they're going to go out there and try to ball.
And the thing is, you look at Kawhi's game logs for the last, basically since the new year started.
It's unbelievable.
Mid-January, it's unbelievable. Like 30 every night.
And so, Adam, you weren't part of this conversation because Chris and I were having this, but after the game against the... What was it, the Timberwolves game? Or what game? The Kings, I'm sorry. The 100, the 200.
When he had 44.
The 230 game.
44,
I said to Brockman, and he kind of laughed at me. I said, Kawhi Leonard is a top 10 player in this league.
He said top five.
In top five. And you said he's not top five in the West. And my point being, if you look at everything that you say, this is what it takes to be a good basketball player, the skill set. I don't know how, if you watch Kawhi Leonard, and watch this man on the basketball court. I don't know how you can say there are six guys who are more talented at the game of basketball today than him. I just don't see it. This guy's skill set is unbelievable. Everything he can do on the basketball court, you're going to have a hard time telling me that there's five guys that you would take over him if you wanted to win a title.
I remember you guys talking about that, and then I made up the point, maybe we adjust the argument, which players would you want to have on your team going into the playoffs? And I agree with you in terms of if it's that argument that there's not five other better players that I'd rather have than Kawhi Leonard going into the playoffs as long as he's healthy.
Because you think scoring, defense. Like, that was my old argument when you and I talked about Kawhi and Luka. I was like, the thing about Luka is he's never going to be as good on D as Kawhi because there's very few people in the world that play defense like Kawhi Leonard. So when you take his whole bag, that whole skill set, he's super duper elite.
I'm writing down two top fives that we're going to do right before the playoffs start.
Okay.
Top five guys you want heading into the playoffs. And then top five, this is a great like first take, and I love these. TJ, you hate them. Top five guys under the most pressure.
For the big show?
No, we're going to do this on this show.
Okay.
right before the playoffs. So playoff preview.
All right.
These are two of the top fives. We can do, by the way, we could do a whole playoff preview show that's just top fives if you guys want.
True.
But
we're
doing these two at the very least. I'm writing them down right now.
Anybody who's listening, what do you guys want us to talk about before the playoffs? Give us some suggestions in the comments.
Yeah, also, what do you guys think about this? You know, a quote came out from Paul George where he essentially said he had to really take a look at himself and understand and realize that he wasn't good enough to be the number one on the call sheet.
I saw that.
As a championship team. And, of course, you know, people are going to say this, that, and the third about it. For me, I thought it was very commendable and respectable for him to come out and say, like, look, man, I realize that I'm this good, but I'm not good enough to do this alone. I'm not good enough to be the one. How did you guys feel about that comment?
I respect that, man. I got to say, I respect that. Sometimes you got to take a good hard look in the mirror and assess your career and where you're at and the moment and what's capable and acceptable and possible in front of you. And he did and said, look, I need to be a 1B or even a 2 for my team to win a title. And you got to applaud that. Got to applaud the
and
honesty.
Paul George is, again, when we
Paul
talk
to George is awesome.
I don't think there's
future
20
Hall of Famer.
I don't think there's 20 better players in the NBA than Paul
George. You can make
George.
A real good case. He's top 20, top 25
Absolutely.
In the league and really, you know, really really good player, top level player for
24
a long time.
6 and 6 a night.
Man,
you know?
And
by the way, that's coming back from that horrible broken leg that he suffered. So you got to imagine, where would this guy's game be had that basketball, had that stanchion been 5 feet further back when he ran into it and snapped his leg in half? Like,
I like
we're
your guys,
about a different Paul George.
I like how your guys' sentiments. I completely agree that the fact that the NBA, the top players in the NBA have they all have massive egos because you have to have a massive ego
to get to
become,
that point.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And so for him to be able to still have the ego but still step back and say, well, if I actually really want to win a championship, which clearly he does, for him to admit that, if I want to win a championship, I'm going to be brutally honest and say to myself, I can't win it as the number one guy. That's totally respectable. And I respect him even more than somebody who would say, like, oh, no, I'm the number one guy when they're clearly, you know, not.
Yeah.
So respect to Paul George for being honest and still being an awesome Hall of Fame player.
No doubt.
Yeah, it's going to be wild. It's going to be wild. Like I said, there's like, what do we got, a month left of the regular season? And then the 2.5 month wild ride, that's the NBA playoffs. Buckle up, people. It's going to be great. All right, that's this week's show. We might be back next week. We might not. We might be back in 2 weeks, most likely. More top fives, more checking out where everything stands in the NBA. We love you guys. Thanks for watching. Thanks for listening and tuning in. Again, comments. Leave some comments. What you want to hear us talk about as we get ready for the NBA playoffs. Adam, TJ, love you guys. We'll see you next week.
All right, guys.
Take care. Peace.